Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a study that found that culture samples from three whirlpools at an NCAA Division I university demonstrated the presence of staph both before and after sanitation. Furthermore, staph was found to be present in surrounding areas and was higher following use by patients than prior to treatment. Staph is a serious infection, which affects many athletes due to their frequent exposure to physical contact with other athletes and equipment. While some data exists regarding the prevalence of staph in athletic facilities, little information is available with regards to whirlpools. Clinicians need to know how prevalent staph is in whirlpools to help minimize disease transmission. Therefore, Kahanov and colleagues completed a cross-sectional study to determine the prevalence of staph and MRSA in and around cold whirlpools in an athletic training room. Water samples and culture swab from the whirlpool drain, agitator head, turbine switch, wooden steps, and neoprene toe caps were obtained from three cold whirlpools in two athletic training rooms at an NCAA Division I university. All cold whirlpools were cleaned daily using an EPA-recommended disinfectant spray. Samples were taken both before and at the end of team practice or treatment. During the 15 days of collection, 240 samples were obtained, and 109 athletes received cold whirlpool treatments. Staph and MRSA were discovered in 22% and less than 1% of samples respectively. Staph was detected both before and following treatments. All sites tested positive for staph at some point during data collection, and the prevalence of staph increased throughout the day. The data presented in this study demonstrates that some current sanitation protocols and products may not be as effective against staph and MRSA as initially thought. The two most alarming findings were the discovery of staph following sanitation prior to athlete treatment. This indicates that despite using an EPA-recommended sanitizer, staph is still present in and around the whirlpool. This calls the sanitation process into question. Clinicians may benefit from future studies in this area to identify better sanitation procedures, as well as identifying the best available sanitizers. Secondly, staph prevalence increased throughout the day. While this is to be partially expected, clinicians often do not have the time to drain, sanitize, and refill whirlpools in between treatments, which is recommended by the CDC, by the way. It suggests that clinicians may further benefit from a sanitizer being added to the water itself, such as chlorine, as well as additional hygienic steps, such as having the athletes shower prior to whirlpool use. Until more research can be completed to better understand how to improve sanitation, clinicians should sanitize whirlpools between patients whenever possible, continue to stringently follow the best available sanitizing procedures, and consider the use of sanitizers in the whirlpool's water during treatments. After all, we must strive to do no harm and avoid putting our patients at risk for staph or MRSA, especially in our clinics. This past week, we had one other post on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. This post introduced a Doha agreement on the terminology and definitions of groin pain in athletes. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media post included a study that found that patients with shoulder impingement who received 4 sessions of mobilization with movement had better outcomes for pain during movement than those patients who were in the sham treatment group. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.